Okay, we're looking for a sponsor. And if we get a sponsor, Zach will shave his entire head and shave his goatee and everything and just keep his mustache.
What?
Yeah, I just volunteered you for that. Zach, can you tell us a little bit about the trip that we're trying to look for a sponsor to cover? It's actually for a potential client that we're trying to work and collaborate with.
Yeah. So I don't know if I agree to that. I'm not signing any paperwork.
I'm imagining you with a mustache, just a mustache.
Dude, I have a small head. When I was little, actually, my mom like shaved my head, and it was like I have like a really like warped head.
I'm imagining you as a child with a mustache and a warped head. But tell us about your conversation with Maria.
Yeah. So I had a conversation with a friend who's actually doing some amazing work in Uganda. And basically the root of our conversation was they need a lot of help with storytelling and content creation. And they're like many of you who listen to this podcast, they wear zillions of hats, don't have time to do great content creation and to get their stories out to solicit new donors and advocates. Anyways, we were chatting and one of her big issues was like, hey, like I would love to have you guys come out and gather a bunch of content that we could use for video storytelling and blog writing, etc. But the reality is we're small and we might not be able to afford for you all to make sort of this great trip work. So we got to brainstorming, which is what one of the things we love to do here at Novus. And we said, okay, what would happen is we basically discovered that there were some people in her life that were marketers that understood sort of like the value of content marketing, that understood the value of branding. And we said, hey, what if instead of paying us to do anything, we went to these new prospective donors and said, hey, you could actually sponsor a content marketing program for our organization.
Yeah.
And you could, you know, pay this flat fee. And basically what you're doing is you're covering the costs to have this awesome team at Novus come out, gather all this content and help us tell stories. So who knows where it will go. But I thought that was a very sort of like creative, and it was very much a collaborative idea. It wasn't, you know, we didn't come up with this ourselves, but, and it's simple and, you know, this isn't like, you know, totally innovative, but what I loved about this conversation. And I think what the takeaway is for you all is to think outside the box when it comes to branding, when it comes to marketing, and when it comes to digital fundraising. You don't always need to pull from your existing budget. You can actually go out and find sponsors who are really, really interested in helping you make waves in this particular space.
Yeah, in specific items like content marketing or something else.
And I like the idea of it being like a program, meaning like, hey, like you're going to enable us to have enough content to share stories for a year.
Yeah.
Like that's incredibly compelling. And I mean, as a marketer myself, that's the kind of support that I would love to give to an organization.
So if you want to fund Zach and I's trip to Uganda and to see him with a mustache and nothing else on his head, just send us, you know, a few thousand dollars and we'll make it a deal. Or I'll make it a deal and we'll shave Zach's head. Welcome to the Novus Show.
Wow, that was good. I mean, you know, that was on point, I guess, both of us.
We can retire now happily.
Yeah.
Zach, what is the Novus Show about?
What is the Novus Show about? The Novus Show explores the trends, the technology, the strategies, and the organizations that we think are reshaping the fundraising landscape. And what we say every week, which we will say again, is that we want to invite you to journey with us. This is very much an adventure where we seek to discover how to attract, how to engage, and how to inspire the next generations of advocates. So thanks for being here, guys.
Whoop, whoop. Yes. So I'm actually pretty excited for today's episode.
We have a very like chock full of like very like tactical specific advice, which is exciting.
Super tactical. And actually it was taking me a while to like think about like, oh, Zach, what are we going to talk about for this episode? And it hit me. I was like, it was 2 a.m. actually like a few nights ago. And I was just like, couldn't fall asleep. I was like, I know the perfect idea. And it actually involves using Charity Navigator and using basically Moat.com and Facebook Ads library.
So what is this incredible idea, Frankie?
I'm glad you asked, Zach. Well, basically the ethos of this episode is the idea behind looking at, you know, or trying to reverse engineer what great nonprofits are doing, you know, with their paid promotions, digital advertising, to better inform, you know, our own digital strategies and tactics.
This makes a lot of sense, and I'm really pumped for this one. And I think, like, if I understand, like, when you were sharing this idea with me, I thought that this was absolutely fantastic, is how do you look at fundraising efficiency, right? Mm. And Charity Navigator has awesome tools that we'll dive into here. But in short, for organizations that are thinking, hey, yeah, I know that we need to do better on digital. I know that we need to have more sustainable strategies when it comes to search, when it comes to paid promotions, when it comes to being on Facebook, but they really don't know where to start, right? Because it can be very overwhelming.
That's always like the most popular question. It's like, oh, you know, like, what should I do first? There's always so many things to do.
And there aren't like incredible examples that are like readily available and accessible to organizations outside of like, you know, what the big dogs do. And, you know, for years, nonprofits have like celebrated like small increases in like lift, right? And one of the things we like to talk a lot about at Novus is, you know, it's time to stop talking about just small increases in lift and talking about how to make dramatic shifts in the way that we think about fundraising and the way that we think about donor engagement. So, Frankie, why don't you kind of get us going here by talking a little bit about how we've sort of devised this. We've really sort of like reverse engineered a strategy and a process behind how organizations should think about really getting started strategically with digital communications.
Yeah, yeah. So like the biggest thing is like, okay, what is the best example, you know, that we can build our strategy off of? Like, who's the people that we want to look up to and then figure out and reverse engineer? So basically the process is the way I start off with it, is I go onto Charity Navigator. And I think the quickest way, the most interesting way that I guess I started with was going on to Charity Navigator's 10 Charities Expanding in a Hurry.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw you linked to this. I clicked through to it. Do you, like, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but it looks like these are organizations that have grown like 30% or more year over year in recent history.
And their programs and services.
Okay, yeah. So talk to us a little bit about why that might be a good place to start.
And actually, it's interesting. There's another note on here. It says, additionally, these organizations have enough money in the bank to sustain a similar rate of growth for years to come.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
So, double whammy. A little spiciness for you all. But yeah, what's cool about that is I quickly went through these 10 charities, and I basically looked them up on to see if they had a presence on Facebook, but I also looked at basically their fundraising efficiency and checked out, like, you know, for those who don't know, the fundraising efficiency is for every dollar raised, this is how much a nonprofit spent. And so I also just looked at their fundraising expenses and whatnot. And so basically...
Go ahead.
Well, pausing and kind of zeroing or going backwards, basically what I would advise you to do is, let's say you don't have a nonprofit you want to look at in this like top 10 charities expanding in a hurry. What you should do is you should find like the best charity in your space that's attacking a specific issue to your nonprofit. So like if I'm super interested or my nonprofit is actually like, you know, fighting against human trafficking, I want to look at who are the big dogs in the space and who's doing it incredibly well.
Yeah.
So like IGM, International Justice Mission, incredibly well-known nonprofit. You know, we have some friends that work in the space there. I would look at IGM and what are they doing? But so let's say you have found a nonprofit that you think would be a great one to look at. So what I would do is I would go into Charity Navigator and I would look and see if you can see their fundraising efficiency. So for this example, for IJM, their fundraising efficiency is 11 cents for each dollar they raise, which is pretty solid. Another example I have here, which is from the 10 charities expanding in a hurry, they're at 5 cents for every dollar raised, which is an incredible fundraising efficiency.
And why I think this is important, and you've shared this with me but before we hopped on to today's show, is like this is a really important metric because what it suggests, right, what it tells us is that when it comes to fundraising strategies and tactics, they're doing something right because they're incredibly efficient with their spend. Totally, so again, like when we're trying to find like models, when we're trying to understand, okay, how much time and attention should we be spending on Facebook ad creative versus Instagram ads? Should we be doing Google display? All these really, really great questions. It's really important that we have models that we can kind of like look to understand and sort of like extract tactics and strategies from what these organizations are doing and apply them in our context. So why fundraising efficiency is so important is, at least in theory, it suggests, hey, these people know how to spend efficiently to generate real dollars.
Yeah.
So
they're not just launching money into the Facebook world and just trying to generate impressions.
Exactly. So Great. So we start there. Let's just stick with the International Justice Mission as an example here. We work in human trafficking. We're a small nonprofit organization, let's say, and IJM is sort of like the poster child. So we go, we click IJM, we say, okay, hey, they have a fundraising efficiency of 11 cents to every dollar raised. Woo-hoo. That's great. Okay, what do we do from there?
Yeah, from there, what I do is basically I'm like, okay, what is their digital advertising presence? Mm-hmm. And you can use two tools that I like to go on immediately. Moat.com, which allows you to see like their Google display ads. So you can basically just type in an organization and it will just show, you know, what they have. Or you can go to the Facebook ads library where it'll actually just show, you know, what are their current Facebook ads that they're running and what are Facebook ads they have ran historically. And what's really cool about, at least on the Facebook ads library, is that if someone is posting an ad on that's related to like an issues or elections or politics, basically a category that Facebook has that you need a little more review, or there's a bigger review process for it, but essentially, you actually get to see how much money is getting spent behind a specific ad. Hmm. And that adds way more information to like you can analyze to see like, oh, shoot, you know, like, okay, if, you know, IJM or Preemptive Love or, you know, whatever nonprofit has a awesome fundraising efficiency. And then there's an ad that you see that's, you know, they drop $40K on a specific ad.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Okay, well, if they're super efficient with their money, to, you know, for every 11 cents they spend for fundraising, they get a dollar. And you drop $40K on an ad, chances are there's something good about their audience and about their ad creative. And so just as a review, you know, as the structure for like Facebook ads real quick, just for those who aren't as familiar.
What is a Facebook ad? What are my options, Frankie?
Well, Zach, I'm glad you asked again. This is such an exciting time to be alive. Basically, when you're creating like a Facebook ad, you can choose like a different objective, whether you want to drive traffic, engagement on a post, like likes, hearts or whatever, comments, driving app installs, messenger messages, event attendance, or even just lead gen. And so basically when you're creating an ad, you set a campaign objective, and then after that, you get to select your ad targeting and your audience. And so not only is this based on like location, age, demographics, and whatnot, but it also goes into like psychographics and interests of other people, and as well as like the device and the placements throughout like the Facebook audience network and then Instagram. But then you also can like do target specific lists or do retargeting and lookalike audiences. After that, you get to set the budget, which is like the $40K that we're talking about, and then a start end date. And then lastly, you get to choose the photo or video that you're using and the ad copy text.
So, fantastic. Yes. Thank you for that crash course.
So yes.
If you guys don't know Facebook ads, I'm sort of poking fun at Frankie right now because this is very like 101 stuff. But to be fair, there are definitely organizations out there that are still not advertising on Facebook or have never launched even like a boosted post campaign. So if you need help with that, reach out to us and we'd be more than happy to just walk you through some of the basics.
Totally. But why it's important to think about the anatomy of a Facebook ad is because when we're actually looking at these ads on the Facebook ads library, you actually need to take these into account and you can actually see like the different iterations. So like, what are we? We're at the stage where we're looking at like a Facebook ad on the ads library. Basically, the example I gave you earlier about the $40K for Preemptive Love, I saw that they had two Facebook ads. One that was basically had the same photo. They both had the same photo, but the ad copy, the text on the Facebook ad was different. Hmm. And what was interesting was actually I was like, okay, so they're doing like a slight A-B test. But what I realized after clicking in and the data was available, one ad was they spent $40K on, and the other ad they spent about $1,000 or $2,000.
Ah,
yeah.
So what does that tell us, Frankie? What does that tell us?
It's a little spicy, Zach. I got to tell you that. What's interesting about that is that like, okay, so obviously, if we look into that and their audiences are the same, you can actually see the audiences they're targeting. If those are the same, then it must be that the copy is the one that's doing, you know, the heavy lifting right now. That's why they spent the extra money on there. I mean, if all the variables are the same and one thing changes, you know, it points to that working. And you know, what's interesting is they change their approach, their tone.
Yeah.
Zach, you can see it. It's a little closer to you.
Yeah. What's cool about this is like, so yeah, to summarize what you're saying, Frankie, is like, it looks like they launched this ad. They launched two ads. They spent Presumably, it says between Facebook gives us a range between 1K and 1.5K, and the potential reach was about 1 million people. And they have this paragraph of text, and then they say $15 can feed a family for a week and give a child something, something. We can't see the rest of the ad. Donate now, and no child should go hungry. And there's like a little video. But then, right, the second ad that's got all the same creative, the only difference is how they opened the actual ad copy, that really the pre creative copy, the post text, which says, you know, quarantine refugees are so desperate for food, they're boiling trash to make soup for their children. Some are offering to give away their children. This is actually really happening. So like basically all they did was swap out that copy, and then they spent $35K to $40K, somewhere in that range, $1,000 on that campaign. So in theory, right, they would have beta tested this campaign, probably spent about $1K, couple K on both ads, realized that ad number two, the one with the quarantine language up front, was performing way better. And so they doubled down on that campaign. So that's like, I love what you're saying here, Frankie, because this is something that like, everybody can do. It's like literally they're tests, free ad like, available. Like, go look. Go to Facebook Ads Library, go look, go, you know, put in name of a competitor organization or just an organization you respect, and look at not just their current ads running, but historical ads that they've run in recent periods of time, and understand, oh, wow, okay, you know, you won't know definitively, but you can infer that when they spent, you know, 40 times what they spent on one ad on another ad, it's probably because something about that ad worked better than version A. So I love this. This is a great way. If you don't have the resources in house to do lots of A/B testing, you can steal insights from other people.
Yeah. So like some questions that I like to ask myself when I'm looking through like a brand's ads, whether they're Google ads or, you know, Facebook ads, it's like, okay, what is this nonprofit's goal? Like obviously they want to drive donations most likely, or they're trying to get volunteers for like their mission or et cetera, or they're trying to promote their stories. So basically looking at what are their offerings on their ads and on their website and what's available. So what are their goals? And then what are the ads that they keep repeating? So if I see a specific like nonprofit and they just keep having the same freaking image just throughout it, and they keep pouring money on there, but they're just changing, you know, the different copy or slight headlines. You can actually just look at the timeline. You're like, okay, well, this is what they're changing. And then, oh, wait, they actually, at this specific ad, they actually threw in a ton of money and like, wow, they actually found out that this is what's working. So basically just looking at what are the patterns and what can you see? And a lot of it's just reverse engineering, you know, their behavior. But the other thing that I think is important to really think about, and this is something you don't have full insight into, is one, their personas, like who are they going after as their prospective donors or volunteers? And then two, what are their actual targeting criteria? Because you actually get to see like their demographics, the specific state that they're the percentage of people from a specific state, but you don't get to see the interests that they're targeting. So that's when you actually have to think about like, okay, with this nonprofit, like these are the specific interests of their donors that they're going after. So you don't have that, and that's like the missing component here that you actually have
secret
to do.
Sauce, the secret sauce.
A little spicy. It's not too spicy to, you know, it's, you know, available for all if you do a little bit of research. But basically, you have to go in and do some heavy lifting on your own to really be able to nail this on the head. But I think that really is a secret sauce about like what's going on.
So to recap, let's talk about process here. So
yep.
I'm an organization. I am determined to better my digital advertising strategy. I want to start with Facebook. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of time. I'm a team of one, right? So don't have lots of people to help me with creative, don't have lots of time for A/B testing.
Okay.
So I say, okay.
Find the best nonprofit in your space.
So first I find the best nonprofit in my space. I go and I look them up on Charity Navigator.
Yep.
I confirm that this nonprofit actually has a good fundraising efficiency.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're spending less than, I don't know, 10 to 15 cents for every dollar raised. They're in Charity Navigator, sort of like top tier. Once I confirm that they have a good fundraising efficiency, I then go to Facebook Ads Library.
Yep.
I look up that organization and I say, okay, what ads are they running right now? And what ads have they historically run?
Yeah.
Then I sort of say, okay, great. This is what these look like. go back a couple months. This is what their ads looked like a couple months ago. What is different between the ads they're running now versus the ads they ran a couple months ago? Is there sort of meaningful difference from a copy standpoint, from a creative standpoint, from a CTA standpoint? And then what can I learn from what they're doing so that I can apply that in my context? Is that sort of like a fair process?
Yeah, that's totally fair. Yeah. And it's really just like, as you dive in, just kind of with your what's it? Microscope or magnifying glass. I'm like, what is this? I'm like showing Zach my hand moving back and forth. But yeah, I mean, just put on your lab coat.
Oh!
That was weird.
Sorry, that's one of our CEO's kind of classic go-to isms.
Tony, this is a shout out to you.
Shout out to Tony.
So I mean, just put on that lab coat and just try to see what you can learn, because there's so much information out there that's available to you. And I mean, like, there's just like kind of cool, like little fun facts. Like, I mean, I looked up Helen Keller International's like Google Display Ads at Moat.com.
Yeah, yeah. And this one's a good one. Talk about this one.
Yeah, they have a solid fundraising efficiency of 2 cents for every dollar they raise.
That's like, insane.
Yeah.
That's
have
incredible.
They a super high score on
Journey Navigator.
And so I was like, okay, well, let's have a little good time. Let's hop into Moat.com and check it out. So I looked them up, and they basically were running a bunch of ads for gift matching and basically, you know, to bring sight to the most vulnerable.
Which honestly, whoever they use for copywriting, whether that's in-house, that's beautiful. Like keeping sight of the most vulnerable, like there's so much power there because of obviously the name of the organization and who Helen Keller was. Anyways, I sort of got chills when I first saw that because I was like, wow, that took time. That took effort. So if you're listening to this week's episode of The Nova Show and you participated in the copywriting for the Helen Keller International Institute, then please know that you are appreciated.
Yeah, reach out. If you reach out, Zach will shave off his mustache.
Why are we into like shaving Zach's hair? Like, where did that come from?
It's more just like comedy for me that something's happening to Zach and I'm totally safe. But anyways,
what's cool about this campaign?
Yeah, so anyways, they ran a bunch of like Google Display ads.
Yeah, it looks like they have like 9-10 going on.
Yeah, and a lot of these like banner ads, these kind of like skinny horizontal ads, they basically, most of the copy is the same. They switched out some of the images, but what they were essentially testing is like language between your gift matched and donate now.
Yeah, they were testing the CTA language. Yeah.
Yeah. And so basically, you know, throughout it, they were using your gift match, but then like in one of these weeks, they used donate now. And so what's funny is like, you can see their behavior. They're like essentially A/B testing. I can only imagine like someone in a conversation like, well, why don't we just try donate now? And they tried it. And then they never did it again.
Yeah,
they kept doing your gift match. And what that tells me is like, okay, well, they spent a certain amount of money and they just realized it's just not worth it. And so we're going to keep doing, you know, your gift matched. And knowing that they have a super awesome fundraising efficiency, I'm going to believe that, you know, they're working in their best interest and that works the best for their audience.
What's really cool too here is you can actually see, like, if you're on Moat.com, you can see sort of, and this just confirms the fact that, yes, somebody said, let's switch out the CTA text. Let's see what happens if we replace the copy. But everything else in the ad is exactly the same. Like it's the same photo of the woman and her child. And you know, it's the same kind of pre-CTA text copy and whatnot. And so, yeah, this is sort of just a very, like, this is one of those classic things, guys, where like, if you're not taking advantage of this, you're really just missing out on lots of really quality free information. Like, this is like better than like competition research. It can be even better than like market research, because you can get a sense of what are the big players doing. And again, if they've got that low fundraising efficiency score, like if they're actually enable to relate, you know, launch all of these promotions and generate a dollar for less than 5 to 10 cents of spend,
crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so again, like, we don't have all of their financials. We don't know exactly how much they spent on Facebook or Google or whatever, but it's at least a framework through which you can intelligently operate. And like, that's what we want to do for you guys. We want to help give you guys frameworks that are going to be really applicable to your context and help you make smarter decisions about how to spend the resources that you do have to generate the results that you need.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Zach, I really don't have much to add to that. I mean, honestly, like at the end of the day, it's like creating just, once you figure out what works, you know, like you follow this process, you figure out what works, and then you just create some like awesome, compelling content. You know, it's like we did this with our team. Like, we spent, you know, extra time just, you know, making sure we had really awesome Facebook ads and really bold just copy on, you know, on the ad, on the actual, just like the post, the header copy. Always mess up the
header, the placement. Footer, it's called pre-ad, pre-post.
It's all the same. It's copy to me. Copy. But anyways, once we spent, you know, the extra hours on there, we actually found like the cost per lead was reduced like 30 to 40%, but still like increasing the quality / the amount of leads that we were getting from Facebook.
And that and that's like super important. And just to reiterate,
wait, one more thing too is we didn't change the audiences. This is more like we kept the same audiences. We didn't tweak them at all. We just spent time on like the creative. That's it. And then we're like, okay, let's see what happens. And then that's when it boosted. It was like, wow. It's like, obviously we're doing something wrong before, but it's like, wow, okay, this changes like our approach. We understand the messaging that we want to go for. We found something that worked. But yeah,
and I love that. And I think like that just speaks to like, that's a fantastic example of just the power of creative and the power of like great work and great imagery and great messaging and like really, really, really thought provoking and intentional copy. And I think too often the temptation, especially for like maybe more traditional fundraisers, is to think about, okay, we need to kind of put everything on the table and start over, start from scratch, right? And especially in a world where, again, like to circle back on what we were saying earlier, where you're addicted to sort of thinking about like marginal increases in like lift, like marginal increases in response rate. The digital space is entirely different. Like you guys were able to, our team was able to dramatically reduce the cost per new contact, the cost per lead generated from Facebook ads by 30 to 40% simply by being a little bit more focused on the actual creative. Like guys, this is not complicated stuff, right? And so takeaways from this week's episode, go ahead and bookmark Facebook's ad library and moat.com.
Do it. Do it now.
Start looking up your competition or even just people that you respect in the space. See what they're doing. Reverse engineer that. Go verify their fundraising efficiency score on Charity Navigator. And then you will have enough fuel to be able to craft a really great strategy that is going to yield meaningful results.
And one thing that's assumed in there too is you create a swipe file. Like just open up a like
exactly a folder. What's a swipe file? What's
well,
a swipe file?
Well, Zach, that's the third time you've asked. It's been a good day. Yeah, you basically, it's just a folder where you just take screenshots of like, you know, ads that you love, landing pages that you love, copy that's super compelling that really like, you're like, whoa, this really captured my attention. Take a screenshot of it. You don't even have to think about it then. Just throw it into a folder. And when you need, you know, inspiration, you can go into this folder and like, wow, this is all this creative that I know I want to be able to like understand, you know, what their the outline of their logic and how they built their ad. You can take from that and build it and apply it to, you know, the specific issue and language that your nonprofit uses.
Fantastic. Well, as per usual, Frank, it was an honor to be chatting with you, an honor to chat with you. And any last words of inspiration for our listeners today?
Well, I tried to stay spicy, stay classy 2 episodes ago, and I got negative feedback. You know, everyone I asked were like, yep, that's not good. So,
I've got a closing thing for folks. So people have been amazingly generous and have reached out to us with very encouraging feedback and comments on what we're trying to do here at Novus. That said, if we haven't heard from you, we'd love to hear from you. So if you totally listen to the show, if you've got thoughts, we're also actually going to enter into a season where we're going to bring some people on the show and do some brainstorming with folks who are veterans in the space and have done lots of really cool things that Frankie and I sort of aspire to do one day. So if you know somebody in the nonprofit marketing or fundraising space that you think would be a good fit for our show, please reach out to us. You can reach out to us at zach@novusagency.org or Francisco@novusagency.org, and we would love to be introduced to this person and see if they might be a good fit for the show.
All right, yeah. Stay spicy, everyone.
Stay spicy. Stay classy.
No. And please, let's get some sponsors. We got to shave Zach's head. I want to see the bulging head walking around.
Again, there's been no contract that I've been signed here, so
but it's understood.
Oh God. Okay. Anyways, guys, have a great week. We'll see you next week.